The man on the mic is a dental industry disruptor, innovator, educator, and he's your dental consumer caretaker. We're online at ddsradio.com. It's time to enter the no crown zone. This is the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup. Taking all the nights off, sleeping with the friends.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I always appreciate it. I am truly honored when you decide to spend an hour with me. This is where you and I have conversations that share information you're never going to find anywhere else. You become smarter, better informed, a more educated medical, dental, health, wellness, nutrition, anything and everything about how you can make better decisions for the rest of your life. You're going to find it here. You know how we do this. We start in dental school 101. We hold hands, we walk down the hall, we turn the corner, we take our seat in class. And today, the professor is going to be talking about when you go to the dentist and you need to get numbed up. They always say, you know, there's going to be a little pinch. You know, it's going to be kind of like a little bee sting. You may feel a little bit of a prick. I'm not even going to touch the third one. You just mind that to yourself, and I'm letting you decide where that lies. But how would it be if you didn't have to experience any of those unpleasantries? How would it be if you actually could get an anesthetic in the dental chair and it didn't hurt you? I'm going to tell you how you can tell your dentist how to give you anesthetic and it won't hurt. You are going to be smarter than your dentist. And in Ask the Expert, everybody is on a keto diet right now. But with the keto diet, it really focuses in on fats and meats and a few vegetables. And unfortunately, it really shuns carbs and a lot of fruit. Where are you going to get all of that absolutely essential water-soluble vitamins? Where are you going to get the nutrition that you need to get from fruit? I'm going to tell you about how you can be on a keto diet and, yes, still get the fruit intake that you need, get the vitamins and minerals that you need, and not violate the keto diet. I'm going to tell you about keto fruit, believe it or not. And you get to meet my good friend Teresa. Now, you are going to all just shake your heads when she starts to tell you her story, because she went to the dentist. I have a tooth that hurts. He said, well, give it a couple of weeks. She calls back. It still hurts. She goes into the appointment, and the dentist says, oh, guess what? Your root is probably dying. Let's put a crown on it. You know, that just didn't seem to track for her. He gave it two or three attempts, failed miserably. She comes to my office, and she's going to tell you how good old Uncle Randy put his special red cape on and dun-da-da, solved her problem. This is a really cool story. You want to hear it. But first, could going to the beauty salon actually jeopardize your life? Wreck your health? Is it possible something that innocuous could do something that bad? I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
Turn on the news.
I have a little news flash.
Well, you know I like doing research for you, and I read this article, and it triggered in my brain a recollection of a couple of other things that I had read and actually presented to you in the past. So let's go jump into this and look at it. Scientists at the National Institutes of Health found that women who use permanent hair dye and chemical hair straighteners have a higher risk of developing breast cancer than women who don't use these products. The study was published online on December the 4th, 2019, in the International Journal of Cancer, and suggests that breast cancer risk increases with more frequent use of these chemical hair products. Now, here's what they were doing. They were using data from what's called the sister study, and they quote that in this article. The sister study is a study that was started at the National Institute of Health, and it ran from approximately 2003. This study was launched, and it ran through 2009, and what it looked at was 50,000 women who had cancer, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, some sort of cancer, but these women had to have a sister. And the study didn't follow the women that had cancer. It studied their sisters to find out what is the correlation between being a sister and having cancer and being a sister and not having cancer. So the study that these folks are talking about with hair dyes and hair straighteners was from the sister cohort. It was not from the women that had cancer. It was from the sisters that didn't have. And they have mined a massive amount of data from this study over the years. It is really proven to be a treasure trove of information and demographic information that compares one sister, genetic sister, to another that one had cancer, one didn't. What's the difference? And so here's what they found. Women who regularly use permanent hair dye in the year prior to enrolling in the study were 9% more likely than women who didn't use hair dye to develop breast cancer. Among African American women using permanent dyes every 5 to 8 weeks, every 2 months or more, was associated with a 60% increased risk of breast cancer as compared with an 8% risk for white women. The research team found little or no increase in breast cancer risk for the semi-permanent or temporary hair dyes. This is only for permanent beauty shop serious hair dyes. An intriguing finding was the association between the use of chemical hair straighteners and breast cancer. Dr. White and their colleagues in this study found that women who used hair straighteners at least every 5 to 8 weeks were 30% more likely to develop breast cancer as opposed to those, even African American women or white women, who did not use hair straighteners. Now, what you have to do is you have to think about and understand. And Lord knows, I am just an expert on anything and everything hair. If you've ever seen me, you know I should be really the walking expert for hair. No, I'm bald. Come on, give me a break. That was supposed to be funny. Now, here's the thing. There are two major chemicals when you start talking about the world of hair dyes and hair coloring. One is hydrogen peroxide, also known as an oxidative agent. They commonly use stuff called peroxide. And the other one is a ammonia product. And the ammonia products are highly, highly alkaline. And so what happens is this: the hydrogen peroxide is placed on the hair to bleach out the existing natural pigment color of the hair. Let's get rid of it. And then secondarily, the ammonia, the alkaline compounds, are put on the hair because the ammonia alkaline compounds literally get through what's called the cuticle, the outer layer of the hair, get into the interior of the hair, and these alkaline ammonia molecules swell up. They get big once they get inside the hair. They attach a color pigment to the ammonia compound, and so as the ammonia then soaks into the hair, it drags these color pigments with it. The ammonia compound then expands and locks the color inside the hair, so the hair is quote-unquote permanently dyed, permanently colored, and not until the hair grows out or falls out does the color go away. So that's what they're talking about in terms of the intensity and the invasive nature of these colors and these pigments for the dye. You know, there's semi-permanent hair color, there's what's called demi-permanent hair color, and then there's permanent hair color done in a beauty salon. Hair straightening, on the other hand, can be done at home, but it uses incredibly caustic and burning compounds, not only on the hair, but on the scalp. And if you have experienced hair straightening, you understand that the process of doing that, which is sometimes just called the process, is one that if on your scalp or on your skin, these compounds sit long enough, they burn like crazy, letting you know exactly the extent of the chemical formulation. So in this cohort study, using this sister study as their database, what they found was, particularly for Black women, if you are using frequently permanent hair dyes, and if you are frequently using hair straighteners, then you have a 60% increase in the risk of breast cancer with the dye, 30% increase in the risk of breast cancer for the straighteners. And so should you give all these things up? You know, in our world today, we're exposed to a lot of things, but let's listen to what the researcher said. The researcher said, when asked if women should stop dyeing or straightening their hair, Dr. Sandler, one of the physicians in the research study, said, you know, we're exposed to many things that could potentially contribute to breast cancer, and it is unlikely that any single factor explains a woman's entire risk category. While it's too early to make a firm recommendation, avoiding these chemicals might be one more thing a woman can do to reduce her risk of breast cancer. So there you have it. Is it possible that going to the beauty shop could be damaging and threatening to your health? You bet your booty. So anyway, be careful of what you do. Watch out. My recommendation is take the Randy route. Come on. Let's all lather up and let's shave down. Let's all be natural. Come on. Let the world see your beautiful cranium. Let's explore. Come on, be out there with me. I hate being alone. So anyway, up next, we are going to talk about, is it a little pinch? Is it just a little bee sting? Are you going to feel a little prick? God, I would love to be able to work on that joke, but I just can't. So I'm going to tell you all about how to get painless anesthetic right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. A doctor that truly cares about having a relationship with you. A doctor who provides one of the most thorough initial dental exams and most thorough initial conversations with you that stands apart in today's industry. Plus, his goal is to do a procedure once, not over and over, to keep billing you. That's the mission of Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. Teeth preservation while saving you cash. We're online at ddsradio.com. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup. I walked a mile in your
shoes. Well, I'm glad to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I really appreciate it. And, you know, you are my best favorite friends, and you are absolutely amazingly cool listeners. And many of you, so many of you, go to ddsradio.com and submit your ideas and questions. And this topic is one of them that you have submitted, you wanted me to tell you more about, in that why on earth, with our ability to put people on the moon and, you know, drive fast cars and do all these miraculous things, why can't they invent a system that can give somebody anesthetic and make it have it not hurt? They hated the idea of you're going to get a little pinch, it feels like a bee sting, you may have a little bit of a prick. And so all these things were bothersome. Why can't anesthetic be easy? Well, I'm here to tell you it can. And it's simply a matter of understanding what's going on and a technique that they didn't teach you in dental school haven't taught you since, and unless somebody shows you and teaches you how to do it, I'm going to teach you how to get really, really easy, smooth, and comfortable anesthetic. Probably won't even know that you've got the anesthetic going in. You then can now go out and tell your dentist, this is how I want you to do it. Or you have your dentist call me, I'll tell them how to do it. I will teach any dentist anything I free. All you have to do is urge them to call me or come to my office. I will teach anybody everything for free. How does it get better than that? I don't know. Here's the deal. Anesthetics now in today's world come in a variety of forms. I will let you know that Novocaine, which is commonly like Kleenex or Fritos, Novocaine doesn't exist anymore. They haven't made it for years. It had a really high propensity for allergic reaction in patients. They abandoned Novocaine a long time ago. Instead, we now use the amide base of anesthetics, the lidocaines, carbocaines, mepivacaines, articaines. All of these canes are absolutely wonderful, amazing, astounding anesthetics. The rate of having anything allergic or anything with any of these canes is infinitesimally small. And so they're very reliable. You can go from about 1 hour to 1.5 to 2 hours, up to about 5 or 6 hours of anesthesia, depending upon which one you get. There are some anesthetics that are designed to last a long time. One's called Marcaine, and it is a mepivacaine-based anesthetic. How anesthetics work is that they are injected, and you have this big, what they call a bolus. You have this big amount of liquid that you put around the nerves that you want to anesthetize. And it's based on pH. It's based on the acidity. And there is, in your nerves, there's a thing called the sodium pump. And it pumps sodium in and out of the nerve cells. It creates a potential gradient that creates the nerve stimulation. If you can shut off the sodium pump, then you shut off nerve transmission. And it's all about what's called the ionization potential, the pKa. This is chemistry class, kids. You can handle it. You're going to be good. But there are a number of different types of anesthetic delivery system. One of them is just the conventional needle. And you've seen it, and they pull the syringe, and you push all the liquid in there, and it's anesthetic. There are things called intraosseous. The needles are really, really short, and they're really strong, and you have to push really hard. But what you do is you just simply take the little needle, and it pushes right into where the bone is around the tooth, and it takes a lot of pressure to push this in, but you can deliver a small amount of anesthetic and get a large amount of numbing in a really restricted area. Some folks, that works well. There is a ligament around your tooth, a rubbery membrane that surrounds the roots of your teeth. And if you can get a teeny, teeny, tiny needle down in just the ligament and you put, again, a lot of pressure, you can anesthetize literally one tooth at a time. And then lastly, if you've got a tooth that you just can't get numb, you actually can put anesthetic in the pulp of the tooth. Highly not recommended if you want to keep the tooth alive. There are gadgets that you can buy. One is called a wand, and the wand is a special little contraption. And what the wand does is deliver the anesthetic solution very, very slowly. There's no magic to it. It's not a magic wand. But the problem is, in dental school, we are taught to give the anesthetic quickly. Get it over with. Get it done. Let's move on. Let's go to other things. It's going to hurt, so let's just make it hurt a lot real quickly, and then we'll get past it. And that's what everybody hates. So you do not have to endure that at all. Let me tell you how to do this. What happens to you now, I will bet, You go in, sit in the dental chair. The dental assistant comes in and says, well, we're going to be working on the upper left. And the dental assistant takes a Q-tip that's covered with a bunch of jelly. It's numbing jelly. She holds your cheek out and she shoves it up in your cheek and puts your cheek back down. And she said, the doctor will be in 15 minutes and give you your anesthetic. Here's what happens. A, your tongue and your throat go totally numb. You aren't able to swallow. You feel like crapola. The stuff tastes awful. And when the dentist comes in to numb you up, you're not numb up there where the stuff was supposed to numb you. You're numbed cleared back in the back of your throat. Stupidest thing on the planet. Mucosa is designed to absorb, except if it's covered with saliva. Saliva neutralizes all of this stuff, washes it off of the skin, washes it down your throat, and it's worthless. Here's how you do it. You locate the area, whether it's in the back or up on the top or on the side or in the front, you locate the area where you want to give the anesthetic. Now, I sit there and do all of this. I sit there with you, with the patient, and do 100% of this. I don't delegate it off because this is important. So I'll sit there. You and I'll figure out what we're doing. Where do I need to put the anesthetic in? Here are the steps. A, the doctor takes out one of those little dry square gauze pad things, lifts your cheek up out of the way or pushes your tongue out of the way, takes the little pad and dries off the gum tissue where he's or she is going to do the anesthetic. You want the gum tissue bone dry with this little gauze pad. Then my assistant hands me the Q-tip that has the jelly on it, and I rub in the jelly on that dry gum tissue exactly where I'm going to put the anesthetic. I take the Q-tip and put it exactly where the needle is going to go. And then I take the little piece of gauze and put it over top of the tip of the Q-tip, holding the tip of the Q-tip against the gums and protecting the Q-tip and the gum so it doesn't get wet. So I sit there and hold that for a good 30, 45, 60 seconds. The anesthetic will now soak into the gums and will numb the gum tissue. It won't drain down your throat. You won't be eating it and swallowing it, and it won't be totally wasted because it's off someplace else and not where you want it. So when I'm ready to put the anesthetic in, then I simply have the patient open. We suction out any water that's there. I keep the little Q-tip exactly where I want it to be to put the anesthetic in. I take the little dry piece of gauze away. Now the gum tissue right there is numb as a post. And here's the big tricky thing. Here's what you do. The dentist needs to put the needle in right next to the Q-tip because it's numb. I've made it purposefully numb. So you put the needle in right next to the Q-tip, and you just only go in a little bit, and then you slowly, it's like a sloth is taking this anesthetic in. It's slow. Here's why slow is important. Once you get past the outer skin, the mucosa, that's the only place where there are pain receptors. So if I numb up the outer skin where the pain receptors are, and once the end of the little needle goes past through that, there's no more pain. Underneath the skin, in the deep connective tissue, what it's called, where I put the anesthetic, there's only one sort of pain receptor. It is a pressure receptor. And if you stay below what's called the threshold of the pressure receptor, let's say the pressure receptor is designed to fire off and go ding, 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 this hurts at 20. If you stay below 20 and putting the anesthetic in, the pain receptor never goes ding, 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 ding. So you don't feel any discomfort. If you get in a hurry and push this stuff in quickly and say, well, this is going to be fast. Hang on, it's going to pinch. And then you go, and push the stuff in there, the pressure of pushing the stuff in there will go to 50. You'll get all kinds of bells and whistles going off. So you put a little bit, you go in a little bit of slow anesthetic. You go in a little bit more, a little bit of slow anesthetic, a little bit more. It takes me a solid minute and a half to put in one of those little glass carpules of anesthetic. At dental school, they teach you to do it in 10 seconds. But I'm going, dripping it in slowly by slowly. The patient, my patient in the chair, is bored. What are you doing? When are we done? This is taking a long time. Are you bothered by this at all? No. Can we move on? Can we get going? That's how you give anesthetic that doesn't hurt. The patients, 99% of the time, I get finished with the anesthetic and people look at me and go, when are you going to put the anesthetic in? 99% of the time, you do this technique and you won't know the anesthetic is going in at all. And so that's the beauty of it. That's the magic of it. The trick is A, dry the mucosa. B, isolate the topical anesthetic. C, get passed through the outer skin. And D, the most important of all, go slow and go low pressure. Slow and low. And you, your dentist, can learn how to give absolutely amazing anesthetic, and you won't even know they're doing it. There you go. Now you know the real way of making it great. Now, up next, everybody is on a keto diet, but how are you going to get all those vitamins that you need from all the fruit that you're not supposed to eat? I'll tell you right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. He's unlike anyone else in the United States of America when it comes to microscopic dentistry diligence while caring about your whole mouth and whole body health. His offices are located right here in Indianapolis. You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show, presented by Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
1 foot in front of the other.
It's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And as you well know, everybody in your block, everybody in the office is on a keto diet. And keto diet is high in fat, really, really good on a lot of vegetables, and really, really bad on fruit, because fruit has a lot of sugar, and sugar is carbs, and keto is not friendly with carbs. But how do you get all of the nutrition that you need from all of that fruit that you aren't getting on the keto diet? Well, let me allay your fears, because there is a strategy, there is a mechanism, and there are ways that you can consume some keto-friendly fruit that doesn't tip you off the scales of your calorie counting and of your carb counting. So let's go through them. There are basically 10 really good keto-friendly fruits easily available to everybody. And so we're going to go through the worst back down to the very best, the most friendly keto fruits that you can get. Number one, cantaloupe. Cantaloupe is our number 10 because it has the greatest amount of net carbs in terms of 12.3. A lot of the folks on keto diets are measuring not only gross carbs, but then when they factor away the fiber that is coming with eating whole fruit, they wind up with net carbs. So if you have a cup of cantaloupe, chopped up, diced up cantaloupe, you're going to wind up with 12.3 net carbs. Now, cantaloupe, like so many of the melons, is massively filled with water, okay? And so you're going to get a ton of water with cantaloupe and with our next category, and that's going to be watermelon. But cantaloupe has lots of vitamin C, lots of really, really good trace minerals in it, and it is a good keto-friendly fruit for you to use. The number 9 one is watermelon. And again, watermelon is 90% water. And so when you eat chopped up, diced up watermelon, remember, you're consuming vast amounts of water. And you will get a 10.9 net carb benefit out of 1 cup of watermelon. Now, watermelon is a real distinct red color. Cantaloupe is the pinky red color. And a lot of these have these cytokinins and anthocyanins in it. These are very, very good antioxidant capabilities. They're very, very good anti-cancer capabilities. They're very, very healthy. Number 8 is strawberries. 1 cup of strawberries has an 8.2 net carbs. Right after that is blackberries at a 7.1 net carbs. Now, strawberries, 1 cup, a lot of vitamin C, a lot of your antioxidant, a lot of the electrolytes are in strawberries and blueberries. They are absolutely fantastic for filling out those missing vitamins, those water-soluble vitamins that you don't get. Next in our list is a cup of raspberries at a 6.7 net carbs. We're getting down into really low net carbs now. Next in line is 1 regular normal size lemon. Yes, you can eat 1 regular normal size lemon. It will give you only 5.4 net carbs. You can use the lemon peel. You can have lemon zest. You can mix lemon in with cooking your food. You give it a lemon spice. Lemon is a really great way of getting tons of vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin K, and a lot of nutritional benefit. The next is a lime at 5.2. And it helps stave off scurvy, of course. You remember those limeys in the British Navy? They all ate limes to stave off scurvy. But the number one, the highest, the most keto-friendly fruit that there is, without question, is an avocado. Yes, an avocado is a fruit. It's not a vegetable. You can't start mixing this with a bunch of guacamole. It shoots this formula all to heck. But an avocado only gives you 3.6 net carbs. It is the best keto fruit of them all because it's loaded with highly unsaturated fat, which is the best fat possible. And it is loaded with trace minerals. So if you're on a keto diet and if you want really the best fruit possible, eat avocado. And the number 10, the best one of them all, is a tomato. Yes, a tomato is a fruit, and it is at 3.3 net carbs, a lot of phytokinins, a lot of vitamin C, but not nearly the fat content as an avocado. So it's not the superfood of keto diets. It's just pretty close. So there are your top 10. And so if you're on a keto diet, do not shun all fruits. Pump in on tomatoes, avocados, lemons, limes, and you will do just fine. Now, up next, you get to meet my good friend, Teresa. She went to the dentist, and the dentist said, "You've got a dying root on a tooth." "Of course. Well, let's put a crown on it." You know, she came to Uncle Randy, and she's going to tell you the rest of the story right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. Lives are changing. Here's a Dr. Shoup story.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here on the program. And I want to introduce a relatively new friend to me. Teresa, how are you?
I'm great, Dr. Shoup.
Oh, thank you very much. Teresa is fairly new to our office, and so I wanted Teresa to come on the program, and she graciously accepted the invitation. And what I want us to chat about is
that, you know, to my listeners out there, Teresa, a lot of them don't necessarily know that there are alternatives to the way they're getting their dentistry delivered to them. And I wanted you to talk about, and I'll give a little background to the listeners. Teresa and I have met. We've done our initial exam, and we've done our initial consultation, and we've had a couple of conversations, lengthy conversations after that, because her treatment plan has many different kind of alternatives to it. And I want Teresa to be completely comfortable making the decision. So that's what I want us to talk about. So Teresa, yes. Now, when we first came in and did the examination together, sat in the consultation room, chatted about what you wanted, did the exam. Tell the listeners who haven't had that sort of an experience, what was that like?
Well, I almost feel like I need to kind of tell you how I ended up there.
That'd be great.
I had begun to experience some sensitivity in a tooth. And at my prior dentist, I had gone for a regular routine cleaning. And I mentioned it to him, and he said, well, just kind of hold off for a couple of weeks. If it doesn't go away, let me know. So yeah, I called him back in a couple of weeks. It was still sensitive. And he said, well, we're going to have to put a cap on it. You know, you probably have a dying root there. You're going to have to put a cap on it. And really, he said, I asked him, can you just replace the filling? No, the filling was so large that he didn't want to mess with that. And he said, really, you're probably going to need a root canal because it, you know, if we do the cap, it's probably going to just send the tooth over the edge. And he said, I'll do the cap, but I can't promise that you won't need root canal. Well, I had begun to do some research for various other reasons, and I came across information that really root canals are not always, you know, if you can avoid them, avoid them. They can be done poorly, and you could have health issues. So I, really the first thing I did, and as corny as it might sound, I prayed about it, and I began to research. And I did some various things online, and I came across the term, and I don't remember if it's biometrics. Is that?
Yeah, biomimetic.
Okay, something. Yeah, I came across that term, and I began to research, and sure enough, I came to your name. You happened to be in Noblesville. So I thought, well, I need to get a second opinion because I felt that I didn't want to lose my tooth.
Well, sure.
So that's when we called. So that's how I ended up with you.
Well, outstanding. You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show. I'm your host, Dr. Randy Shoup, and that's my new friend, good friend, Teresa, who's describing how she came to find me in the first place. And then once you finally called and then came in and we had our consultation and exam, tell people what that was like for you.
Well, I will have to say I felt very comfortable even from the moment that I called because you have such good, nice office people.
Well, thank you. I like them too.
That's very important. You want to feel like you're not a bother. And then when we began to talk, I don't know, I kind of liked your personality. I mean, there's something about it I felt very comfortable with. But more than that was that I ask a lot of questions, and you didn't seem to be bothered with that. And, you know, sometimes people don't want to deal with questions, and you're made to feel like you're ignorant or, you know, I'm the boss here. I know what's best, and I never felt that way with you. You listened to all my questions and addressed them, and you wanted me to understand the process. And really, you told me that you really had to, you know, you had to look at the situation before you could tell me what to do. And I remember you asking me, "What do you want out? What would you like to see happen?" And I said, "Well, I would like to not have to have a cap, and I would like to not have to or a crown, and I'd like to not have to have a root canal." So anyway. You said, well, you need to do an exam, and you'd like to test the tooth. And really, my other dentist never even mentioned to testing it, to even looking further into it. So I thought, well, okay. And you did what you needed to do. It was very thorough. You took pictures. And you said, well, guess what? You don't need a crown, and you don't need a root canal. I'm like, yay!
Well, I'm glad I was able to come through for you. That was a pretty cool thing. I'm happy. Yeah, the pressure was on me there for a minute.
Yeah. but if I could go on just a bit.
Sure.
I was very impressed because you showed me the inside of my mouth, and I had never seen it before in that detail with all, you know, you have the cameras that take the pictures, And when we began to look more deeply into the issue, realized it wasn't a dying tooth. It was a sensitive tooth because of a bite issue. And then we began to see that all my teeth were ground down. I had no idea. I mean, they were really, to me, looked like they were smooth as a baby's bottom.
Yes.
And my other dentist was a very nice guy, but he never once mentioned that to me. And so I'm so glad I got a second opinion. And I just was very impressed with the whole procedure. You took measurements. You looked at my posture. I mean, just things I had never had anybody do before.
And those things were reassuring and positive for you.
Yes. And really, to I guess, pun intended, you were more interested in getting to the root of the problem.
That was very good. I like
that. Yeah.
She did that on her own, everybody. I there was no coaching about that whatsoever. Yeah. No, that's terrific. You're listening to the Dr. Randy Shoup Show. I am your host, Dr. Randy Shoup, and that's my friend Teresa, who's describing how her experience when we first came to meet each other and do our initial examinations and so forth. And I prefaced all of this conversation, Teresa, with telling everybody, you and I have not actually done any dentistry together yet.
Right.
Because you're still in the process of thinking through and analyzing what you need to do. And,
right.
And when you get to that point of being comfortable and having enough information, you'll decide that. So tell folks from that vantage point of being listened to, being heard, and having, you know, empowering you to have the enough information to make a good decision, how does that feel for you?
Well, it's more comforting because, I mean, let's just say my situation before, had I rushed into the decision that my prior dentist was telling me, you need this, because I felt pressure that my tooth's dying, I have to do something.
Sure.
And I would have never been able to undo that.
So no, that's a one-way street. You do that, you can't go back.
And so now I really have two good options, and I'm just trying to think, you know, which one of them involves some orthodonture and the other some restoration. And so I'm just trying to decide, you know, my age, I won't say how old I am.
But no, don't say that. Don't say
that. I'm not so young anymore. She's
young and she's very attractive. So leave it at that, because you know she's cool.
So I like having knowing what my options are, and I don't feel pressure, and I know I can make a good decision either way.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Well, Teresa, I have taken up enough of your time. Thank you very, very much. You've absolutely been delightful. And I know that my listeners will appreciate the candor at which you're expressing how important it is that you be an active participant in this
right.
decision. You almost had a decision kind of forced upon you that in retrospect would have been the wrong decision.
Right, right.
Good, good, good. Well, I thank you very, very much. You are most kind and gracious for being on the program with me. I'll let you go, but with my thanks, and then I'll see you again sometime real soon.
All right. Thanks so much.
Teresa, thank you very much. Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. And I'll remind you, remember, the center topic of the anesthetic came to me via you going to ddsradio.com and submitting in a question, hey, how can I get anesthetic that doesn't hurt? Any topic that you want me to research and discuss for you, I'm happy to do it. All you have to do, go to the website and let me know. We are making plans to do a exploratory trip to Guatemala, looking at a school and an orphanage down there that wants to set up a dental program. We will be returning to Kenya May, June of 2020 to keep going with the mission trip that we have there. We need your help. And in the season of giving, give Kind a little help as well. Check out our mission at kinddentistry.org. Until you and I chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling,